Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. Back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we are so excited today because we have one of the best leaders in our community with us today. She is the CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Ozarks. And it is Brandi Harris.
Brandi Harris.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me today. And thank you for just giving me a platform and a space to talk about Boys and Girls Clubs of Springfield and myself and just, I appreciate it. And I love hanging out with you guys. So just thank you for having me today.
Thank you for being here.
And I think people don't probably know the scope of everything that the Boys and Girls Club does. So, but just start by telling our listeners how you got to your position, because you kind of grew up within the Boys and Girls Club organization in your leadership, that is. And so, let them know about that.
You know, I always like, it's so weird because anytime someone asks me like, tell me about Boys and Girls Club, I just like freeze because I'm like, how do you coherently encompass all of the things we do? And I still haven't figured that out yet in the 13 years I've been with Boys and Girls Club. So what I will just say is, in general, Boys and Girls Club provides before, after, and summer programming for the kids who need us most in our communities. We have 7 locations across the city of Springfield. We serve nearly 5,000 kids in this community. I don't love to put kids in boxes like this, but it does help for context. A lot of times people describe the type of kid that we serve as at risk, but I like truly believe that any child is at risk of something if they're not given safe spaces or adults that care a lot about them or opportunities to thrive. But if you're looking at our demographics, you know, we serve 75 or 76% of our kids qualify for free or reduced lunch. So that's a key indicator of poverty. And we just try to make the world a better place for a lot of these kids, give them opportunities to experience life-changing programs, irrationally passionate adults, opportunities they might not otherwise receive, fun, recognition, safe spaces. That's what we do. See, even that was a long description of what we do, but it's like, it's so much. And it's holistic and it works. And I'm so thankful that I get to like do this for a job. So you mentioned I've been with the Boys and Girls Club for a while, but my first professional experience, I was a teacher at Hillcrest High School, which is my alma mater. I taught there for 3 years and it was so cool to like go back to my old stomping grounds because you already had a built-in support system because all the teachers were still there. And they helped me. I was young and I really wanted every student to like, you know, in a Dead Poets Society when all the kids like stand on the desks and like, go, captain, my captain. That's what I wanted them to do with me. But I wanted them to like me so much. And then I lost a lot of credibility. So I was 21, 22, teaching 18-year-olds. It was hard. And I didn't really know what I was doing. But I had a built-in support system who helped me navigate it. So I was a teacher for 3 years and then thought, I love teaching. I love supporting kids. Like, this is probably what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But moved to Lawrence, Kansas, because my husband, Spencer Harris, was getting his PhD at KU. I thought I'd continue teaching. Applied. Not an exaggeration. Sometimes I do like to exaggerate for effect, but this is true. 62 different jobs. Target, Walmart, On the Border, World Market. I applied everywhere for a job. After 3 months of searching, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Lawrence called me and said, hey, we want you to be our AmeriCorps staff and we're going to pay you $300 a month. And I thought, $300 better than $0. It's adjacent to what I enjoy doing. So let's do it. After 6 weeks on that job, I fell in love with the mission of Boys and Girls Club and realized it's all the best parts of teaching for me. And I knew I wanted to be running one one day. I did not expect to run one at 32. That's when I started in this role as CEO. But that's, I mean, ultimately, I kind of found Boys and Girls Club by accident. If I never got that call and said yes, like, who knows?
Well, God was making you wait. 62 jobs. He was saying, be patient.
Yes.
He was. And I'm not the best with that. I get excited and I want to go when I have the energy.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to like slow down and wait.
Yep.
And listen for the answer.
Well, yeah. Some of our best lessons are learned when we be still.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love you guys first. I'm just like talking to you, and I like talking about all the great parts of the work that I do and the opportunities I have, because it just like makes my heart so full of gratitude. You mentioned sometimes we just have to be still and wait. When I first started this job, I was so excited, and I literally was very naive too. I was like, everyone's going to love me. Everyone's going to give money to Boys and Girls Club. We're going to open clubs on every corner. There are going to be no barriers. I just did not understand the full scope of a role like this. For an agency that's been in this community for 85 years, a multi-million dollar organization, I had the energy and the passion, but I just did not, reality didn't hit until 6 month mark.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the board was so helpful. We have a 36 member board, which if you're watching, it's the perfect size. If you're on the board, if you're not, 36 people is too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big board.
It's
big.
Yeah.
But they collectively came to me and said, we love your energy. We love your passion. We need you to slow down and listen. And it was the greatest professional advice I'd ever received. So I literally did this 6 month listening and learning tour. I listened to club members, parents, teachers, community partners, donors. I just listened, which is actually, I like to listen, but I get really excited and then I want to do things. So if somebody is telling me like, I wish this would change at Boys and Girls Club, I want to change it immediately. But it was so great to just practice being patient and being an active listener, because I was able to craft the vision for Boys and Girls Club, and it wasn't just mine anymore. It was this entire community's.
Right.
Like, and I learned so much during that time from the people who are more directly impacted by what we do than just me. So,
well, and it sounds like in that 6 months, when you were given that piece of advice, you were waiting for the board to then get on board with all of your visions and your energy, in a sense,
that's
right?
Really true.
That everybody had to get on the same plane, and those 6 months was everybody doing that.
I don't think I've ever thought of it that way, and that's so true.
Yeah.
Because I will say, I think I was a shock to a lot of, I have a different personality. I'm the first female in this role. I just think, look, act a lot differently than what the board was used to.
Giving
them time to adjust to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell us what that was like. Tell us, we're female business owners, leaders. Tell us what that was like to be thrust into a role that was a big role that someone else had probably taken in a different way in the past, but everybody has the same cause, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's fighting for the kids. What was that like? And working with, you know, people that are younger or older than you at a young 32. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and working now supervising people who also wanted this job.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. It was just, it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
I honestly, I guess I'm 5.5 years now, which is insane to think about, because that first year, I didn't think I was going to last, truly. I think, it was hard. And it still is, but it's easier now, because I think people, like, as sad as this is to say, like, I think I've like proven how much I care.
Yes.
And people, I've built trust with people.
Yes.
Not everyone, but as many people as I can, you know. But that first year was so hard. I mean, the first part of it was like just such excitement. And then your doubt starts creeping in.
Sure. Self-doubt.
Like, why did you pick me for this? Was there anyone else? Was anyone else available to do this job? I like started Pinteresting. What does the CEO wear? What does the CEO say in meetings? How do you? I had no idea what I was doing, and I was really trying to like fit every model of CEO that I had met before me. And to be truthfully transparent, and this is not a bad thing, it's just the fact that they were all men. So like, I felt like, just who am I in this world now, and how do I like make this my own? I didn't for the first year. I really lost myself. I lost my passion. I lost I don't know. I lost a lot during that time. It took a toll on my marriage. Mm-hmm. My dog could tell something was wrong. Like, I just totally became like, how do I fit the world's idea of what a CEO is for a big organization like mm-hmm. this? Mm-hmm. And it's not just at the local level. I mean, there are, 5,000 clubs across the country. And when you're a part of Boys and Girls Clubs of America, like, a lot of the leaders there also at the time didn't look like me. Right. So it was just, mm-hmm. I mean, it was bad enough to the point where I even got emails and phone calls about how a woman shouldn't be leading this organization, or I'm no longer going to donate funds to your mission or give you these in-kind donations anymore because I just don't think you should be doing this. This other person should have gotten it, or a woman shouldn't be leading the organization. And it's like, those are things you like hear in movies. Mm-hmm. They're very rarely like said to you, to mm-hmm. your face, mm-hmm. written down. Right. And it was just like, it felt like, I don't know if this is true, but it felt like for me, it was hitting me from every angle. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm losing money for Boys and Girls Club now, just because of like who I am. Mm-hmm. And that is a tough, awful, hard pill to swallow. And I also had the selection committee's, words to me in the back of my brain. Like, we started with 100 candidates. It was a national search, narrowed down to 50, then 25, then 6, then 2, then 1. And some of them were like, we interviewed you as a courtesy because you were an internal candidate. And I was like, mm-hmm. you don't always have to say everything you feel.
Yeah.
Right. You right? can talk behind my back. Permission granted. But I was like, okay. And then it's followed up with like every round at every interview round, you gave us something we didn't see in another candidate. But I wasn't paying attention to the positive part of that. I was just thinking like,
you heard the negative.
I only heard the negative yeah. mm-hmm. and it became my entire identity. And yeah. I totally lost myself. It had a physical and mental health impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a resignation letter to the board. I literally wrote it. I printed it out. It said, I love kids. I love this mission. I love everything about this place, but like my body and my brain cannot take this anymore. I feel like everyone hates me. I cannot do this job. I'm hurting kids because I'm losing money. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it was just awful. And then I've got people who are working adjacent to me who don't think I should be in this role and are talking about it. I'm getting calls from the national office about how people are like worried about my ability to do the job. And I'm just like, I have never felt this way, and I know that it can't last. Mm-hmm. So I print the resignation letter out. Before I sign it, one of the unique things about my office is that it's connected to a Boys and Girls Club. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just going to go do a quick lap, walk around. I got to get clear my head. I've shared this story before, but it is so like mm-hmm. impactful for me, and I never want to lose it because there are days where you think, why am I doing this? It's mm-hmm. so hard. This moment is mm-hmm. one of them. I walk around the club and I remember we had about 200 kids in the club at that time. And I'm seeing kids play air hockey. I'm smelling lunch being served in the cafeteria. I'm seeing a kid learn how to tie their shoes. I'm seeing staff members. It's just excitement and fun and kids are safe. And this like little girl, probably around 7 years old, runs up to me and says, who are you? And I said, my name is Miss Brandy. What do you do? I'm the CEO for Boys and Girls Club. And then she asked me, what does a CEO do? And then I tried to explain it in like ways that a 7-year-old would understand. So I was mm-hmm. just like, it's somebody who cares a lot about kids and who raises money and works to make sure that staff are having a good time and wants to build clubs and schools and talks to teachers, et cetera. And she looked me dead in the eye and she said, I want to be a CEO too. And I thought, oh my God, like, this job is so much bigger than like my feelings getting hurt because someone doesn't like me because I'm a girl and they don't want to give money anymore. It's about moments like this for kids where you can only yes. be what you see, and you're mm-hmm. seeing this in someone right now. You're also like, it just totally shifted something in my brain. This is not about me. Mm-hmm. This is about, I wish I knew her name, to be fully transparent. Yeah. I don't, but like mm-hmm. in that moment, I just will never forget. That shifted things for me mm-hmm. for sure. And just looking around and seeing everything that was happening in this place that I truly so desperately needed when I was a kid. Like, I get to be a part of providing spaces like that for kids now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, done. Then I was like, let's go. And I probably went too far the other way. I'm like, I'm wearing t-shirts every day to work. I'm not showing up on time. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do any of that. But like, I just started to really think like, keep the mission focused first.
Yes.
Remember why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Also, make sure you're in clubs more often because that energizes mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Like, yes.
You've
yeah.
been removed you're right. from kids for a while. So
yeah. True.
Yeah.
That was a long answer to your question. No, that's sorry.
A that great was, that was story. Great. Okay. And I just want to say I commend you for being honest and mm-hmm. telling what it was really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I don't know who's on your board or who was on it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That might be hard to hear for some of them to listen to and yeah. think if they don't know how poorly you were received, if yeah. you will, mm-hmm. and what that did to you mentally and physically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What a great story, it's, though, of you like waking up one day and mm-hmm. saying, I know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Now I need to show them why I'm doing this.
Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Great story.
It was a great story. And I have heard the story yeah. before. I heard you tell it at the Athena Luncheon when you won the Rising Star Award. Mm-hmm. And I am going to set the stage for those of you who are maybe not as familiar with the Boys and Girls Club, just from a perspective of, I feel you, girl, because I know what came before you. So let's go back about 40 years ago, and I don't know how much before that, but at that time, I'm from a little rural small town mm-hmm. outside of Springfield. The only thing I knew about the Boys and Girls Club is that my brothers went there to play basketball.
Oh my gosh.
So we mm-hmm. came into Springfield, they played basketball there. And at that time, there were two units.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's fast forward. I'm a member of Sertoma, which really Boys and Girls Club is the whole focus of mm-hmm. most of the Sertoma groups.
Yeah.
And the Bill Stalnaker unit was built in North Springfield, which is where your office mm-hmm. currently is. And Bill Stalnaker, in many people's eyes, was the CEO.
Beloved.
Beloved by all.
Yes.
He was a phenomenal person, not to take a thing away from him. He was in it for the right reasons. 100%. I feel like his heart was in the right place. And he has a unit built after
named
him.
But after
that
him,
was
yeah.
What year was that unit? What year was that unit built?
Stalnaker is 2003.
Okay.
Three.
I'm going to make a point about something here in a minute. Okay. So 2003, the Stalnaker unit was built. Shortly after that, Bill retires.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how do you replace someone who is, well, I mean, Bill could get money from a homeless person. I mean, yeah. that's just who he was.
Yeah.
And he was genuine in it. And everyone knew he would be hard to replace.
100%.
So Pat Gartland takes over the helm after that. Mm-hmm. Again, a great guy, but at the end of his career, he had been at other Boys and Girls Clubs,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and he moved to Springfield, took this job. And again, not taking anything away from Pat, but that's what leads us up to Brandy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And in your 5 years... Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners what has happened at Boys and Girls. I'm going to get emotional. What's happened at the Boys and Girls Club?
Jordan, they need to get us a box of tissues here.
Get in here! First, I love hearing you. I didn't know you had those connections to Boys mm-hmm. and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of the club is so important to me because I am not naive to the fact that 80 years of work in this role before my time has been put in and has made, in a lot of ways, my job a lot easier.
Sure.
Like, kids have needed us since Springfield's inception, and I'm so glad that Jenny Lincoln in 1938 decided, I'm going to make this place for kids to come, and then fast forward a couple years, and then you've got Boys and Girls Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful for Bill Henderson, Genevieve Kenyon, mm-hmm. Bill Stalnaker, Pat Gartland, all of the work mm-hmm. that was laid before my time.
Mm-hmm.
I do think everyone is called to leadership in different ways at different times, and they're probably meant for that time. But I think mm-hmm. in 2019, it was time for someone like me.
Mm-hmm.
That's been hard for me to say, but now I truly believe
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So in My tenure, we've opened the Fremont unit inside Fremont Elementary, and we've served about 150 kids there, and we got a almost $1 million grant to open it. Mm-hmm. We've opened the O'Reilly unit inside Williams Elementary, which serves around the same number of kids and is a club slash shared school space like our Sertomi unit inside Sherwood. And it's thriving in that neighborhood, and it has a special place in my heart because I grew up in that neighborhood, and I used to pick up my sister at Williams and walk home and mm-hmm. walk through the park and walk through the neighborhood and walk along Kearney to get home. And some of the things that happened were not what I want kids to experience. So like mm-hmm. building a space where kids can go after school there is just has sentimental meaning to me mm-hmm. as well. Opened some morning programs. So we opened a morning program at Jarrett Middle School. We increased our capacity and our the number of kids that we serve and how we serve them. We navigated a pandemic, which also nobody said, hey, by the way, during your tenure, you're going to have to navigate a pandemic.
Right.
My first year was like just getting used to things. And then year two was like, by the way, the whole world shutting down.
By the way.
Yeah, we changed legislation to allow 5-year-olds to come to Boys and Girls Club because before it was just 6 and up. Mm-hmm. So you'd have 6-year-old kindergartners who could come to Boys and Girls Club, but 5-year-old kindergartners who couldn't.
Oh, wow.
And it was just an outdated law, but nobody had like done anything to change it. We are about to open a state-of-the-art teen center that's exclusive to middle and high school students.
Yes, I was going to ask about that.
Oh, I have so much to tell you. I have a PowerPoint presentation ready for you if you want to see it.
Yes. Click, click.
Yeah. We've done a lot of work and we've grown exponentially. We also had a full-time mm-hmm. McGregor unit. Mm-hmm. So we've expanded. We have 7 locations. And when I started, we had...
Four had just opened, right?
The fourth had just opened. Yeah. And we had 8, and now we have 7 because we consolidated. So, mm-hmm. I think... A lot.
In Thank 5 years.
Yes.
I'm damn proud of you. I'm damn proud of you for...
Yes. Can you hear us?
So it's our amazing. Community needed you, and okay. I thank That's you right. so much for...
Okay, enough. Honestly, you guys, like, I'm really thankful. Thank you. I don't really know how much I thought... I didn't realize how much I needed... someone to say that to me right now, so just thank you.
Yeah. You are seen.
You okay. are seen.
Okay.
You are seen.
Somebody tell a joke.
Yes.
Well, I want to say that what we appreciate your honesty, your authenticity, because it is, I truly believe that there are many women out there just like you mm-hmm. that were ready to hand in their resignation, who were pushed and tried to the limit and maybe didn't take the path you did. Mm-hmm. You were meant to see that little girl that day, 100%. And she was meant to touch you mm-hmm. in a way that would make you stick it out.
Yeah.
And our community is so much better for it. But I think there are a lot of women who wouldn't tell the story the way that you told it and be honest about it. And let's be real. I mean, we're all women. We've probably all experienced something. You know, Tanya and I have taken the entrepreneurial route. That doesn't mean that we haven't been told no.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And but there are lots of women in roles like yours, similar to yours, that have experienced many of the same things. And like I said, probably haven't been as honest about what that looked like.
And what it felt like, what it did to you mm-hmm. personally.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
Would you guys be willing to just share a little bit? I don't, whatever you're comfortable with. But like, can you share a little bit about your journey or when, was there a moment in your career where it just clicked and it's like, I'm going to power through and I'm going to do it? Because I know... I know about both of you. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. a lot about like your career trajectories, what you're doing in the community. I know that wasn't easy for you either. So mm-hmm. if either of you are willing to...
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, for me, it's easy because I bought my office in 2007. And it was right at the beginning of the recession. Mm-hmm. And so there weren't as many female brokers around at that time. And plus... Once that happened, once that recession kind of set in, the things that had been in place in sort of a supportive mechanism within the organization like the brokers used to get together every month, and they would meet, and I felt like, okay, that's going to be a great place for me. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to go there, and all these brokers will rally around me as the new kid on the block, and they will help me. And that didn't happen because 2007, everybody pulled back their funding, so broker meetings weren't happening. Wow. I didn't have a support system. I didn't have any partners. It was just me. And all I had to do was, and I had to try to navigate a recession as a brand new business owner. Mm-hmm. So, and I felt very inadequate in that time because people are looking up to you. You're the leader. They want you to lead. They want you to tell them that it's all going to be okay because we've never experienced a recession, at least those of us, recently in the business have never experienced anything like that. So, very, very lonely time, very, not having the support system and feeling like all eyes are on you, right?
100%.
You got to lead whether you feel like it today or not.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your self-confidence is super low.
Exactly.
So we're not our best when we're having days like that. So having months like that and years like that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The recession lasted for years. So.
Yeah.
And then to not have to not feel like you had this built-in support system where you could brainstorm, troubleshoot, strategize, vent. That's a very lonely place to be.
Absolutely.
But you did it.
Yeah. Yeah. We all.
I'm proud of you too.
Yeah.
Okay, you're up.
So I would tell a story of we opened our brokerage in 2013, and it was me and three other men. Mm-hmm. And so I already go in being the underdog, right? Because that's how you feel when you're 100%.
Outnumbered. Yeah.
And women do things differently. We think differently. We react differently. Yeah. And I can recall a time that we were having a discussion about something, and I don't even know what the topic was, and I don't know what the disagreement was about. But they ganged up on me, and they all agreed the way the man agreed, and I stood in my shoes because if nothing else, I'm a fighter and I'm going to fight for my position, right? And I had argued, and I remember feeling so much like the underdog and feeling like there was, who am I going to call to get on my side? They're all feeling this way, and I've got a different vote, so they're going to vote me down. And at the time, there wasn't anybody within our company that I felt like could understand my position because they're all agents working underneath us, right, under our umbrella. And I also did not have the friendships with other brokers. So I was a new broker owner and I didn't have the friendships with other women leaders in our community of real estate that I could call and say, these mother truckers are trying to railroad me and over this, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right.
And so it's a very lonely place to be, and the whatever it was, we recovered from it because I remember thinking, I want out. I'm going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. Screw these guys. They can do this on their own. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And that I'm a fighter. So for me to just wave the white flag and say, I give up is not in my character.
Yeah.
No. So, and we ended. I'm still in partnership with one other owner. The other two have retired and been bought out.
Yeah.
But we all have we still have a mutual respect for one another, So it was something probably small, but at the time it felt really big.
Of course, of course it was.
And it makes you question every decision you've made, especially a big one to take a CEO position or to go into partnership with three dudes. So I think you would be hard-pressed to find a woman leader who has not been in a position like that.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Something similar.
Yeah. And I think the same with both of your examples. I think that happens. I actually know it does because the more open and transparent I am about my experiences, what it has resulted in is what I hoped for is just that other women, other new leaders are just talking about their experiences and how hard it is. And it really helps prevent us from feeling like we're in this silo. Right. It helps us feel validated. So you're like, your experiences, I'm so thankful you share. And I'm sure a lot of viewers and myself, like, it's inspiring to hear and to see where you are now. And I know you mentioned like it was a small moment, but it wasn't. It was a huge moment because you stayed and you fought and you, you know, you experienced a conflict that, that turned out the way it needed to turn out, because a lot of times people just think all conflict is bad.
Right.
And sometimes it's not, especially if there's a mutual respect.
Exactly.
In your case, I don't know if there was mutual respect, but I'm just saying, like, conflict can be okay. So just thank you guys so much for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Of course. And I think we, just the female gender, I think we want to make everything okay, right?
Yeah.
You talk about conflict, and I think sometimes we shy away from conflict just because we see it as negative.
Yeah.
And you're 100% right that sometimes it's positive.
It really is. I try. Now, I mean, it hasn't always been this way, but we, our senior leadership team, we do this thing called book club, and we just read like a leadership book or some sort of book that will help us grow, learn, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we recently, by recently, I mean like a year and a half ago, time means nothing post-COVID. I don't even know what year it is. So, but some time ago, we read Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And I think she's a really incredible leader and someone who can like really help make sense of things and it help us like activate our vulnerability as a team. But one of the things that has always stayed with me from her is clear is kind. So you think a lot of times that you're being kind if you are avoiding conflict and you just sweep it under the rug or whatever. But I just try to remember when I have to have a difficult conversation with someone, being clear with them, being respectful, that's kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I can say, here are my expectations. I thought we had a conversation about it. They're not being met. Tell me your perspective from it, or here are my expectations moving forward. Here is as clear as I can possibly be.
Yes.
That's the kind, good thing to do to for someone. Because
If
you're on the receiving end of that and you have no idea what you're doing wrong, or like if you made a mistake, like that is an awful space to live in. So that quote pushes me to have more uncomfortable conversations with people when I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Clear as kind.
Let's get tattoos of it.
Yes.
Let's just kidding. I'm afraid of needles.
That's where we're headed after this.
See you later. McAllister's? We're going to go get a sandwich? A new sandwich?
A new sandwich? Exactly.
Tattoos.
Yes.
Perfect.
Well, tell us what is exciting that's going on at the... I mean, you've obviously... we've established how much has happened in the 5 years that you've been, but what else is on the horizon? What do we need to really know about that's coming?
Okay. I'm so excited about the Teen Center. So I'd love to just talk about that.
Tell us about that. And it's called what?
The Risdell Family Teen Center for Great Futures.
Okay.
It's a long name.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the full name. People have been calling it the Teen Center. People have been calling it the Center, the Riz, the Risdell. I mean, there's so many names for it already and it isn't fully built yet. So I'm happy about it. But one of the things I appreciate about this state, the state of Missouri, is that we have put a heavy focus on early childhood education. I'm a part of the Mayor's Commission for Children. That's a bulk of the work that we do. It's really, really important. But what that has done, what that focus has done, unintentionally, inadvertently, has neglected middle and high school students. So we're putting such a focus on before you grow up. Where are the services for middle and high school students? There's such a gap in this community. And we've been talking about a teen center for 20, 30 years, but it's never reached the top of the priority list. Then the pandemic hits and we're like, oh my goodness, all of the mental health concerns, the job skills, the civic engagement, like it's all just being exacerbated. Like everything is getting worse. So July of 2021, the board gets together with senior leadership and we have our 3-year strategic plan. Jim Anderson suggested that we do a 3-year strategic plan because we have no idea what the world's going to look like in 5 or 10 years. So then you revisit it.
Yes.
So we did a 3-year strategic plan and the number one priority for the board was a standalone teen center. So right now, a lot of people don't know this, but we do serve teens. We serve middle and high school students. We serve K through 12, but we're limited by space, transportation. There are just some barriers. So right now we have 3 small teen centers located inside of our traditional units, the Henderson unit, Musgrave unit, and Stallnaker unit. Each of them can accommodate at one time around 50 kids. We serve about 450 to 500 teens a year. The need, the excitement around the services we provide far outweighs the space that we have. So we thought, okay, Let's build something just for them. And they're in currently, they're in teen centers inside of a larger building that is really more geared towards younger kids because we just have more of them. Mm-hmm. So we're building a 32,000 square foot building along the Grant Avenue Parkway, right behind Parkview Stadium, just north of it. This space will be for middle and high school students. It is truly built by teens for teens. I literally hosted my fourth focus group with teens 2 weeks ago. And because it's so amazing to be a part of those conversations, because a lot of times people think like teens are just going to ask for video games and Cheetos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do ask for those things, but they also ask, I can't tell you, they're like, I don't know what a FAFSA is. I need help finding scholarships. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I want to do after I graduate. I don't know if I can graduate. I don't know how to change a tire. I've never seen a check before in my life. I want to know how to cook. All I know how to cook is ramen. They just want a space where they can learn, grow, and build life skills.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that doesn't happen in school. I know that it does. But what we are, what I like to consider Boys and Girls Club is an extension of the classroom. Mm-hmm. And we just have less restrictions around what we can do when we can do it.
Right.
So this space is going to be two stories. It's going to have a gym, a games room, an esports lounge, a teaching kitchen, a dance and fitness studio, a barber shop, a needs store, a health clinic, a mental health clinic, offices, conference spaces, art room, innovation space. Anything you can imagine that will meet your basic needs and beyond will be in this space. And teens have helped design it. They've designed tables. They've told me what they want inside of it.
Wow.
It's going to be amazing. And a lot of my time and energy the last 2 years has gone to that project because it's $12 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot to raise. It's a lot to coordinate.
Yeah.
And I've done capital campaigns before, but they've been much smaller, like a $1.5 million capital campaign. Mm-hmm. And I had someone else doing all of the heavy logistical work because we have a great partnership with Springfield Public Schools. This one? Did you know you can't just be like, I want to build a building and then it happens? There's was my perspective.
Something else behind it?
You just build it. Just put walls up and build it. I sat in a meeting a couple weeks ago. It was 30 minutes about door locks. And I was like, you have construction delays. You have hundreds of people working on this project.
Yes.
You have soil that's not suitable to build on. You have holes in the, there's so many things that I've learned, and I'm just telling you, and this is a public service announcement, if you are a nonprofit leader or leader in general, and you are going through your first capital campaign, I have a master Google Doc about all the things that I learned and wish I would have asked beforehand. I have learned so much, and I want to share that with people.
That's awesome.
Because I've learned it the hard way.
And
I have a good team of people supporting me. It's just, have you ever wanted to be in charge of everything because you're
a control freak, a little bit.
Yeah.
You're sitting among
I had a feeling. Yeah. So
you're in good company, girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But letting other people who are smarter and better about these things.
Yes.
Just do it. Let them help you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And trust them to do it. And then if they don't, destroy them.
Yes.
So that's the thing I think I'm most excited about right now. And it's taken a lot of time in brain space. So
when should it be complete?
Assuming it never rains for the rest of the year.
Right.
Or into next year. Hopefully we are going to open summer of 2025.
Okay.
So we've broken ground. There's piles of dirt.
Right.
There's materials.
Yeah.
People are moving. It's just, it takes a long time.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
I don't want to rush it. I mean, I can't rush it. There's laws and stuff. So.
Right.
But I'm just ready. I'm ready. To have it available for kids, and kids are excited about it. This last focus group that we did, I was telling them about all the things, because we had some middle schoolers in there who are 11 who will be a part of the teen center when it opens, and then we had some teens who already know about it, and I'm telling them about all these spaces that'll be available, and they're just looking at the pictures, and their mouth is agape. They're so excited, and some kid raises his hand and says, "So how much is this going to cost us?" And I thought, man, you're seeing all of these incredible things, and the first thing that comes to your mind is this barrier that it's going to exist that I'm not going to be able to go and experience it. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to say, $0, because we don't want to charge anything, and we want to provide transportation to remove as many barriers as we can.
Yeah.
The whole room just exploded. Like, oh my God, this is built for us. Will there be somebody who knows how to cut hair in the barbershop? And I was like, yeah, we're not just going to have like your friends cut your hair. Yeah. Like they were just so, I don't know. It just, those moments are like,
gold.
Yeah. Gold. And then I'm like, okay, I can deal with unsuitable soil for a couple more weeks because when we cut the ribbon and then
it's going to all be these amazing. Kids,
it's going to be amazing. You guys have to be there.
Yeah. We will be there.
And also, I need about $5 million. Okay. So if either of you just.
I was going to ask. So
sitting on $5 million.
You're still looking for donations.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Still looking for support for this project. What I love so much about it is we got early support from our lead donor, the Risdell family. We're so thankful for their decades of support for Boys and Girls Clubs, and I'm so excited to like just celebrate them in this way.
Yeah.
We also have received support from Greene County and the City of Springfield in the form of ARPA funds. So it really is a community project. It's not just Boys and Girls Club. It's like this impacts so many facets.
Our community. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
It'll be a gem for our community.
It will be a gem.
How do you know how many there's How many facilities are there in the country? I mean, roughly.
5,000.
5,000. Mm-hmm. And how many of them have a facility like this?
That's a good question. So teen centers, let's see. We went on a bunch of tours of teen centers before we decided how we were going to build. It is something that a lot of clubs are starting to do. Mm-hmm. I would say, oh God, I have no earthly idea. Okay. On standalone centers like this, I will say I have not come across of a teen center that has this kind of model with partnerships with local hospitals and mental health partners where they're located in-house to remove the barrier. Mm-hmm. The barbershop, the need store, all of that. Oh, yeah. Like, that's all stuff that's been informed by our teens in our community. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything like that in other teen centers yet. So maybe it exists, but I'm just telling everyone we're the first and the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. But there are hundreds of teen centers probably.
Sure.
But
still, compared to the fact that there are 5,000, you know, you're right. I mean, we see it. We're seeing as employers, you know, great school system. You can have a great school system. Kids fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. There are barriers to getting a good education, but they, you know, what's coming out sometimes is they don't have even the basic life skills.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. So this is somewhere where, you know, the Boys and Girls Club can step in 100%. And try to be a partner in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I truly believe I'm learning this too. Like, there are a lot of agencies in town or even the school districts where there are programs that already exist that can help, support what we're doing inside of the teen center. It's just the biggest transportation or the biggest barrier is transportation. Right. So if you can bring some of those services to us, to kids, like how amazing would that be? And you're right. The workforce, how many times do we hear like, we don't have a skilled workforce or, there's not enough workers to fill the jobs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a problem that goes away overnight. Like you have got to have preventative and educational opportunities for teens and make sure they're ready for a plan for the future. And one of the great things about Boys and Girls Clubs is our graduation rate is 97% as compared to Missouri's 90%. So there are kids who theoretically, if you're looking at a textbook or looking at data, could fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
They're not because they have those like additional supports and they're building the skills like how to write a resume, how to sit and have a conversation with someone. Like people get so frustrated at teens for like being on their phones all the time or not having the skills that they think teens should have. But I have sensitivity to it because I've seen what these kids have gone through the last couple of years, especially through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And also I've seen and lived very similar experiences to them.
Yep.
Like they're not coming to school as like functioning kids all the time. They're coming to school hungry. Mm-hmm. They're coming to the club just having cared for their siblings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have big emotions and they don't understand how to process or talk them. So when you see them in an interview and they're not answering the question, it's anxiety.
Yes.
And it's fear. And it's you haven't built that skill yet. But Boys and Girls Club can help like fill those gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love it.
I do too. Yeah. I love it so much. And I just think like, okay, if you were a teen and you got like, do you remember being a teen? Like, it just sucks. Like, middle school sucks.
It's awkward. So it's awful.
So hard.
It's so hard. Yes. I had a really amazing experience because I had teachers who were incredible. And I grew up all over the country and attended 13 schools before I moved here for my eighth grade year. And a lot of people ask, like, oh, was your dad in the military? And Like, my mom actually was married 7 times, so each one of those marriages took us to a different part of the country. And our childhood, like my sister and I, our childhood was filled with emotional, sexual, and physical abuse.
Wow.
And I think now I get to use like all of those experiences mm-hmm. to inform my work and then provide a space for yep. middle school and high school students to come where they can like, can't always control what's happening to them when they're home. Right. But like when you're here, you can be a kid
yeah.
and
yeah.
you can build it's safe. Skills. It's safe.
You're going to learn something. You're going to make yeah. friends. People mm-hmm. are going to love you. Mm-hmm.
Like irrationally love you, like annoyingly.
Yes.
Love you. Yeah. Like people, I have teens in my life who still like, or not teens, but they were teens when I first met them, and they just like, they will talk about staff members in their lives who just made such a huge difference for them, and it's like, if you can do that for someone, how amazing! Like I get paid to do that. We get paid to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's special. But when you yeah. guys were in middle school, like it's hard. What would you, yes. if you got to go to a Boys and Girls Club with all these spaces I recommended, what area would you go to? Like what area would call you? Like the arts room, the innovation space? Were you like a reader? Would you go to the health clinic and try to steal some Band-Aids? I don't know. I don't know.
Have your blood pressure taken.
Who knows?
Or all the above.
Well, I mean, right.
It's true. Opening their right. eyes to so many opportunities.
It right. really is.
And yeah. and allowing them to experiment with some of the yeah. things, like the music program. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are kids who never thought they were musically inclined at yeah. all, but if right. they can go in and play with a guitar,
yeah.
they might find that they are.
Develop passions yeah. to last a lifetime, maybe, you know? Yeah.
Do you guys know the famous ballerina Misty Copeland? Guess where she first learned how to do ballet or learn about dance? Boys and Girls Club.
Really?
Denzel Washington, Mario Lopez. All these people are Boys and Girls. J-Lo.
Yes. Yes.
Dancing yep. at Boys and Girls Club. Like,
yep.
you learned all, not that like this, not like being a celebrity is the ultimate goal, but like it exposes kids to things they...
To different things.
Yeah, might not even... Yes. know yeah. about.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
We get to do that. And then you get to give me $5 million before I leave here to pay for the rest of
it. Jack! Oh, Jack.
You can't, don't stay back there. Unless he has money, too.
Right. Jordan, get in here. Well, so, as we yeah. start to wrap this mm-hmm. up, what would if you were to paint a really even bigger future mm-hmm. and knowing that the future is really, really bright, right? And it's, mm-hmm. but we're planners, right?
Yeah.
You're mm-hmm. a control freak, you're a planner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would a 10-year plan look like? You said you have a 3-year
yeah.
master plan, and most companies can only, you know, grasp that. You yeah. can only mm-hmm. plan so far. Is there anything on a bigger horizon that you've thought of?
Oh my gosh, all the time, all day, every yeah, day.
Honestly. That's awesome.
Finishing the teen center for yeah, sure.
For mm-hmm. sure.
There's so much work to be done in Springfield, but yeah. there are so many surrounding communities that, I mean, I'm telling you, probably once a week we get a call from Ozark, Willard, Republic, Nixa,
yeah.
Rogersville, Clever. Just all these surrounding communities that need yeah. safe spaces before mm-hmm. and after school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, my ultimate dream is to take over the entire state or the entirety of, like, Southwest Missouri
yeah.
that doesn't have services. Like, your right. rural mm-hmm. areas, your spaces that don't have any services like this.
Right.
Like, but yeah. it's just, that's so big. And how do you eat an elephant? You
right.
know, just one bite at a yep. time.
Right.
So prioritizing
yep.
and
yep.
utilizing the board to help me, you know, and our senior leaders and our staff to, like, figure out what the next 5 years could look like. Mm-hmm. Because I know my ultimate goals when I am in this role, for as long as I'm in this role, is to make sure more people know about Boys and Girls Club mm-hmm. and to yes. increase access to services to kids who need it.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. those yep. are my two big yeah. things. So
and
I guess,
by doing those things, mm-hmm. you can grow, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
That just yeah. those two things alone will make you grow, and you'll find your way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think so.
Yeah, you will.
With everything I've learned, yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Instead yeah. of just trying to figure it out on my own, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think one thing that is a good reminder for me and maybe some other leaders is that, I just thought of this right now while you were talking, so thank you, is that growth doesn't always have to mean more kids. That's usually how I measure growth mm-hmm. because there are so many kids who need the, I mean, we have a wait list of 400 kids and it doesn't go down. It only goes up.
Right.
Yeah. But growth can also be the small things every day. So more program opportunities mm-hmm. for kids or helping kids and families in a different way we hadn't thought of. Mm-hmm. The pandemic was a huge eye opener for us about what our families need. They don't just need it in 2020.
Right.
They still do.
Right.
So just thinking about what growth looks like for Boys and Girls Club and a good strategic vision. But that will take a lot of input from the school district, the community.
Right.
But I do think for the future, the short future, is that Springfield needs to be the priority. There's just so many things that need to happen here still.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
Right.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
And in that, you gave some of your leadership skills that you've mm-hmm. learned. Mm-hmm. Give us one leadership tip.
Oh, God. Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, I have one, and it's very important to me. Therapy. Prioritizing your mental health. Mm-hmm. And some people need a space. I see a therapist every week. Having a space where I can process, that's safe, that I can cry, that I can vent. Because for a while that became my husband, and it did take a toll on our marriage.
Sure.
Because
you bet.
The times I would see him, it was like, I'm just complaining about all of these things I'm going through, or it'd become my friend circles, which is also great for some of that, but also
a burden.
A burden. Mm-hmm. And the work I'm doing is not, like I mentioned earlier a little bit about my past, but like the work I'm doing can be very triggering and hard for me as an individual, and like taking care of my mental health needs is a priority for me. I'm not always the best at it, but I definitely think every leader needs to have that space to like,
I love that tip though. That
is perfect.
It is one of the best tips.
Yeah. We've had, we hope to have more mental health professionals on. We've had one on, and it's just such a, we're happy to see that the tide is sort of turning in terms of acceptance of that and people being more willing to discuss it.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go.
We really do. But we've made strides. I would agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Because saying this publicly to someone for a long time would have been shameful for me.
That's right.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not, and nowadays, it's not, man, you can put a sticker on your 100%. Shirt. I see a therapist.
Yeah.
And you'd probably get a high five.
Probably would.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. We would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we all need it. We all need spaces.
We all need
like
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's no like, I will talk to my friends about mental health all the time, and some of them will be like, "Well, I haven't been through as much as you have." Oh, it's not a competition. And also, yes,
certainly
you have.
Not.
We've been through different things.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
We've all
different measures.
Being a human is hard.
That's right.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's also amazing and perfect and beautiful, but it's also hard, and you need spaces like that to like help you, especially like if you're working in. You're seeing, it's not always like roses and butterflies at Boys and Girls Club. You're seeing a lot of pain. You're seeing heartache. Yes. You're seeing abuse. You're hotlining kids. It's heavy. It's hard. But then it's also incredibly rewarding that you get to like fiercely protect kids now as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an amazing, that's a great line to end on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have two questions, maybe three.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be quick, but probably not.
First one's true or false.
Oh, okay.
You might have dressed as a Hillcrest Hornet mascot.
Okay, why would you ever ask me that?
True or false?
Honestly, I don't remember, but I could absolutely see myself doing that. Also, I was Chucky at Chuck E. Cheese, so I'm familiar with...
That maybe was my, your memory is just of Chucky.
Yeah. Maybe I... Have I done that? Am I doing it now? What am I wearing?
To somebody I talked to, yes.
I dressed up as the Hornet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like something I would have done in high school. Or yesterday.
That's what she said.
Or yesterday.
I probably did, but I don't, I mean, I had so much school spirit, I still do. Like, honestly, we were opening the Steen Center, and I thought, we're just going to let Hillcrest kids come to it. But I was like,
you can't do that.
No, and also I don't want to. But I'm a diehard Hornet and Beaver, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably did. Okay. Who told you? What's their address?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Number two.
Yeah?
You're a lipstick wearer.
No.
So are we.
I've had this lipstick on since 6 o'clock this morning.
What?
It's Maybelline Superstay Matte. Sponsor me, please.
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Maybelline Superstay Matte. Here's the deal. It's going to dry your lips out. It's going to dry your lips out.
And I don't like matte lipstick.
Oh, but
it drives me crazy.
But doesn't it look amazing right
it
now?
It looks really amazing.
Good job. Yeah. So,
I was stalking you, of course.
Okay, thank you. I actually love it.
Studying you. Uh-huh. Let me be less weird about it.
No, I like it. I'm a Leo, and I'm an Enneagram.
I'm a Leo.
Three.
I'm a Leo.
When's your birthday? Ah! This is dangerous. When's your birthdays?
August 22nd.
July 30th.
August 5th.
Oh.
Tattoos. So we've got Leos. And what's the other thing we're doing? Oh,
clear as kind.
Clear as kind.
We're all Leos. I am so sorry for everyone watching this.
Yeah, right.
We lipstick. Love lipstick.
Love
yeah,
it too.
We do.
So that is something that I'm drawn to in all of your pictures and all of your posts you make.
Yeah.
The lipstick is always perfect.
Yeah.
You can be having a terrible day and then you put lipstick on. You're like, I think I could lift a car.
Yeah, exactly.
It's powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing, so okay, let's all answer this and then we'll wrap this up so Jordan can go home. It's like 9:30 p.m.
Sorry, George.
So if you are in a hurry in the morning and it's a Saturday morning, you're going to go grab a cup of coffee. You're not going to see anybody you know. What's the one makeup you put on?
If I'm not going to see anyone I know?
Yeah. Like what is the one, like, would you put powder on? Would you put mascara on? Or would you put your freaking lipstick on?
I think I would put nothing on if I wasn't going to see anyone. What does that say?
But what if you could? I mean, you got to go to the coffee window.
Lipstick. Oh yeah. I'd be lipstick. I think lipstick or mascara.
Those are my two, lipstick, then mascara.
It can totally transform the way you feel and the way I agree. And I'm going to send
you a
picture.
And it brightens your face.
It does. I'm going to send you a picture of my lipstick drawer because I know I named one, but I have about 14,000 that I love and I want to send them to you and then you send me yours and then for our birthdays.
Hers is going to be crazy organized. Mine is not. Mine's in a bucket.
Wait, when's your birthday again? July
30th.
Oh my God, it's coming up. We're going to buy you lipstick and then it's my birthday next.
Yes.
We'll buy you lipstick.
Yeah.
And then also a teen center. Thank you guys so much.
And then donations. We'll find $5 million.
Thank you so much.
So how can people donate?
Oh my goodness. You can find me on the street and talk to me about this project. You can go to our website, which is www.bgclubspringfield.org. Follow us on social media. We have so many updates on social media and you can learn more about this project there. You can stop by our admin office if you want a tour or if you want to like learn more or email me or email anyone on our website. So just get in touch with us if you're passionate about this teen center, if you're passionate about making the world a better place for kids in Springfield, please connect with us because we have a ways to go, but it will happen.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
much. We love you.
I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you for watching and listening.
Yeah. Thanks to Gershwin Mortgage for letting us record here, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.